Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint. Smoother than smooth. Mitch after Mace is how we roll on Tuesday afternoons in the final hour. Mitch Light from The Athletic is on the line with us. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm good, Darren. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, doing not bad. We're not doing as well as Will Muschamp because he gets paid $270,000 a month for the next 49 months. It's good to be Will Muschamp, a fired coach in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers, they all sound big, and these buyouts, they sound bigger when you do it monthly like that. I mean, I was reading that. I was actually editing a story yesterday about that from Josh Kimball, and that monthly figure is just staggering. But, hey, good for him. And, you know, that will – he'll get his money one way or the other. I expect him to take a job down the road as a defensive coordinator somewhere, so South Carolina won't be on the hook for all of that. But, yeah, I mean, good for him. Good for his agent, and, you know – tough for South Carolina right now. If you guys have been following what's going on, they've had both starting cornerbacks have opted out in the last 2 days. Additional two other defensive backs have opted out. So they're going to
It's getting ready to crater, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, they're struggling anyway. And, you know, you can't – this is a weird year for a lot of reasons. It's weird because of the timing. If you want to make a coaching change – because you're playing games all the way through mid-December, and I think the early signing period is December 12th. So the fact that there's an early signing period, which I think is, 3 years old now, that you're playing games in the mid-December, and aside from everything else. So, you know, South Carolina, I've always thought if you know you're going to make a move, don't prolong the inevitable. So I have no problem with their timing. It's just obviously it's affected their roster with guys opting out.
Well, so much for, you know, COVID will save coaches this year, because COVID didn't save Will Muschamp.
Yeah, and I, you know, it sounds good to say that in August and September, but I see South Carolina's point. A school like that, you know, has 80,000 fans for the most part when times are good, even when times are bad, they can't afford not to make a move almost. If you know it's inevitable and your fans know it's inevitable, you're fundraising suffers, your ticket sales suffer the next year. So while the optics don't look good, you know, while you're laying people off and all that stuff, I get why they did what they had to do. It's unfortunate. The whole thing stinks, but it was literally a business decision they couldn't afford not to make if they knew that Will Muschamp was not going to be the long-term answer.
Where do you think they are realistically going to go next?
I think there's a solid list of suitable mid-major coaches, or, you know, group of five coaches. It seems like some years there's a good candidate list and some years there's not. I think this is a good list. And, you know, obviously Hugh Freeze is the first name that everyone's going to throw out there. They've got to decide whether or not they want to hire Hugh Freeze. I mean, the baggage, both, you know, NCAA and personal conduct, my guess is that won't matter that much. You might get some bad PR for, you know, a week or two or three days, and then you move on, and he's a proven head coach at three different, actually, if you go back to Lambeth, four different places. So I think he's would be obviously a place to look. You know, Billy Napier, the head coach at Louisiana Lafayette's done a good job. And, yeah, there's a long list out there for suitable guys. One guy I don't think whose name is out there is Jeff Monken, the Army coach, and the connection there is South Carolina's president hired him while at Army. And, you know, coaches are flexible. I'm not saying Jeff Monken can't do anything but the option, but he's done a great job at Georgia Southern and Army running the option. And I don't think South Carolina is going to hire a coach who's that's their primary offense.
South Carolina's not been afraid to make the splash hire. And look, it's been okay for them, right? I mean, I guess what I'm asking you is, do you think, yeah, we're going to hear all kinds of names, and I know Billy Napier, I think he's done a tremendous job at Louisiana, and they want an offensive mind, blah, blah, blah. But they seem to also want they want to make noise because it's hard. I mean, we know South Carolina's not easy. Kentucky is not easy. Missouri's not easy. Ole Miss and Mississippi State are not easy places to win at the level that fan bases expect you to win the SEC, which is probably always unrealistic. So what did Ole Miss do? How do they get around that? They go out and hire a splash hire like Lane Kiffin. They are getting tons of attention because of their offense and because of Lane Kiffin. Mississippi State tried to do that with Mike Leach. I don't know. This one may backfire on them sooner rather than later. But they've hired Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier and even Will Muschamp, name guys. Do you really think they're going to go out there and hire a coordinator or somebody at a mid-major school at South Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll hire the best guy that they think. I mean, I understand your point. It's valid. I think it's also they were a product of opportunity. You know, Spurrier and Lou Holtz were two of the biggest name coaches probably in the last, 30 years of college football, and they both happened to be available when South Carolina was looking for a coach. So, and different people made those decisions. There's different athletic directors. There's a different school president. So I don't see, you know, if Lane Kiffin were still at FAU, I might say, yeah, they might go after Lane Kiffin. But I don't see that guy out there. So I don't, you know, hiring Will hopefully Ray Tanner learned his lesson from hiring Will Muschamp. That was just, I never understood that to begin with, is why would you hire a coach who was unsuccessful at Florida? What's he going to do at South Carolina different? Yep. That he couldn't do at Florida, which is a better school. I mean, it's a better football program.
Right. You got more resources and the recruiting, and it's more fertile and better opportunity to win. You're right. I mean, so why did he think that was going to work there? Okay, would Ray Tanner be?
I got a good stat for you guys. I looked this up for our South Carolina, for Josh Kendall, South Carolina writer. It goes on the theory of hiring Power 5 coaches who've been fired in another Power 5 school hiring them.
Yep.
Since 2000, there have been 14 coaches who've been fired from Power 5 schools, fired for performance reasons only.
Okay.
And they've later gotten another Power 5 job. The combined record of those coaches at their second job is 324 and 359, conference record of 187 and 288. So basically, that's my theory. It doesn't make sense to hire someone who's failed at another Power 5 job. The only ones who have a winning record in conference play at their new school were Mark Richt, who in 3-4 years at Miami, and then Ed Orgeron, obviously, at LSU. So very rarely does it work out when you hire someone who's been fired at another school.
That's telling.
How about that?
Well, so the up-and-comer would seem to be the better bet.
Yeah, but one guy who's off to a great start and shocking, because I just thought it was like the worst hire ever, Carl Durrell at Colorado, fired at UCLA, was on Derek Mason's first staff. They're off to a 2-0 start, and one of the guys he beat was Chip Kelly, who didn't get fired from Oregon, obviously, but he was one of those guys who we thought was a slam dunk hire. So sometimes, you know what, we don't know what we're talking about, believe it or not.
Yeah, well, I guess Tennessee fans would say, yeah, how's that worked out, hiring the up-and-comer in Knoxville? That has exactly worked out.
Well, you can argue whether how much of an up-and-comer Jeremy Pruitt was. I don't, you know. He was a well-respected coordinator, but he wasn't. He wasn't a guy that was like.
Yeah, but Dooley and Jones. Yeah. I mean, they've all fit that bill, up and coming guy.
Yeah. I think, not to revisit the past too much, but I think Butch Jones was really the only guy that really fit like the hot up and coming coach who'd done well at two previous jobs. I mean, Derek Dooley. We don't, again, revisiting the past, but didn't have a good record at Louisiana Tech. If his last name wasn't Dooley, there's no way he's getting that job there. So there's hiring the up-and-comer, and then there's hiring a mid-major coach who really shouldn't even be on your list.
I feel like the mullet in Stillwater is always mentioned. I don't know how close he's ever come to leaving. Is that a guy that they should look into or no?
I think that ship has sailed. He flirted with them last time. You know, he's got a little Mike Leach in him as far as says a lot of weird things and is not, you know, might rub some people the wrong way or might rub some people the right way. You never know. But I hadn't even thought about that. But I think he's flirted too much with other jobs.
He has definitely done that. All right, how is this going to play out in Ann Arbor? This is a disaster up in Michigan. They just don't even look like a team that cares to play on Saturday, cares to play for their coach. Their coach doesn't exactly look interested. They just don't look very good. How is this going to play out for Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I've been a Harbaugh defender. Probably you've heard me on the show for years that I thought he got a raw deal, and not a raw deal, just, you know, he brought a lot of the scrutiny on himself with his antics and stuff, but there's no defending their team this year. I mean, they're awful, and there's not winning, and there's looking disinterested and all that. So I don't know. They are not, you know, you talk about South Carolina, SEC schools eating a lot of money on a contract. They're not going to do that, I don't think, Michigan. And I don't really – a lot was made that his contract in length isn't that long. Like, he's been out recruiting without, like, a 3- or 4-year extension, but he makes a lot of money. So even if it's only 2 years, and I should know this.
His contract, I can tell you. I've looked it up. It's up 3 days after the conclusion of next season. 3 days after the conclusion of next season, his contract is up.
So I guess they might only owe him $7 or $8 million. But so I don't know if he'll take the soft, quote unquote, soft landing if an NFL team's looking at him. Now, he is recruiting well. That hasn't fallen apart. He's got a top 10 class. So I don't know. You know, if you would ask me this 2 weeks ago, Darren, I'd say, you know, 90% chance he's back at Michigan. Now I think it's more 50-50. You know, and they could turn it around. You never know. I mean, they're not beating Ohio State, but if they turn it around and show some progress, but they you're right, they've looked awful.
Well, let's with a little bit of changing of the guard, Mitch, let's stay in the Big Ten for one more question. With Michigan and Penn State having major problems, Northwestern and Indiana have had great starts, and you've got the X factor in Wisconsin, who hasn't played many games, but, man, I know Michigan was bad, but that quarterback looks like a game-changer for Wisconsin. How would you rank the next three challengers for Ohio State?
Yeah, Graham Mertz has looked very good. He was very highly recruited. You know, we make a big deal about Wisconsin doing more with less, but he was a top 75 national recruit a couple years ago, so it's not a surprise. Indiana, I'm very interested to see this week, and not taking anything away from them, 3-0 start. They deserve their ranking and all that. But they were very fortunate to beat Penn State. That call could have gone anyway, another way. They have played some really bad offensive teams that have made horrendous decisions. I've watched them play a lot, whether it's Michigan State or Michigan. Justin Fields is not going to do that. He's not going to throw the ball to Indiana. They've lived off turnovers. So I think they're in. I mean, this might not be fair, but I think they're in sort of a rude awakening this week. I think Ohio State doesn't have to sweat too much to beat them. After Ohio State, I think you'd have to say Wisconsin's the next best team in the league. Northwestern's been very good defensively, and the addition of Peyton Ramsey, the Indiana transfer quarterback, has given them some life offensively. They were horrendous there. So it is not a great league after Ohio State, because Michigan's not very good. Penn State's not very good. That next tier of teams that we thought might be good. So I would definitely say, from what I've seen, Wisconsin would be the biggest challenger to Ohio State, and that's the team they'll likely face in the Big Ten championship game.
So you're still saying, though, that even with all those teams having good seasons, you don't see anybody in the class of the Buckeyes right now?
I don't. I don't think Ohio State's quite as good defensively as they were last year. But I think they're just awesome offensively. Fields is incredible, just great decision maker, and they've got great wide receivers. They're just okay at running back for Ohio State, but I really don't see much of a challenger for them. And you know, their whole thing is gearing up to win 2 games in the playoff right now. I'd be shocked if they're not, you know, undefeated Big Ten champion in the playoff.
Vanderbilt has been more competitive the last 2 weeks, but I think you could make an argument that they dug such a deep hole. They looked so poor in the first 3-4 possessions each way that, you know, almost the other team let their guard down a little bit, and then Vanderbilt did settle in and play much better. But, you know, it's better than getting blown completely off the field for 60 minutes. So how much improvement are you seeing? And, I mean, obviously they've got a tough matchup here, but I think we're all kind of curious, what does Vanderbilt versus Tennessee look like on paper?
Yeah, I mean, clearly Vanderbilt's improved offensively in the past 2 weeks, and they've done it against two good defensive teams. You know, I don't think we talked about the Vanderbilt-Mississippi State game last Tuesday. You know, they did it against a good Mississippi State defense, And they did it against a good Kentucky defense. Kentucky had given up 43 points in its previous four games. Vanderbilt scored, 35. Now, I know two were late, and especially the second one was super late when they're playing soft coverage. But I thought Ken Seals, he didn't make the mistakes last week that he did against Mississippi State. And I like the wrinkle they bring in Mike Wright at the goal line, because Ken Seals has struggled in the red zone. And Vanderbilt is not getting – they've run the ball relatively well, but they're not getting a big push on the offensive line in short yardage. So when you're inside the five-yard line, if you've got a quarterback who's not a good runner and you're not getting that push, you got to try something different. So I thought it was a good decision to go to Mike Wright, and it took them a lot of plays, but they scored on both of those possessions. So I think they're clearly getting better offensively. Defensively is a – is not the same thing. They've really struggled. Really, they made Terry Wilson at Kentucky look really, really good, and he looked really good because he was comfortable. He had no pressure on him. Could sit back there, choose his receivers. That's the biggest – one of the problems for Vanderbilt right now is they don't take any team offensively out of their comfort zone. Everything comes too easily for the offense, and you got to rely on some turnovers. And they got that at Texas A&M, and that was a close game. But when they're not getting turnovers, it's going to be really difficult for this team to win a game.
We're talking to Mitch Light of The Athletic. Now, I don't mean this as the Heisman question. I just mean quarterbacks and how you would rank quarterbacks. Where is Kyle Trask in that list right now for you?
He's near the top. In fact, we do I vote in The Athletics. We do a Heisman straw poll with all of our writers and editors. And I had Trask number two this week. I had Fields one, Trask two. I think he's phenomenal. I've seen pretty much every snap. He's a great decision maker, and he's got good receivers. There's definitely great playmakers there, but you got to keep in mind they lost three starting wide receivers to the NFL, and he's only had Kyle Pitts for one half of the last two games, and has not missed a beat. Did it against an Arkansas defense, which had been very good there. So he reminds me a little bit of Danny Werfel as far as not the highest NFL prospect, doesn't have that rocket arm, but just makes great decisions and has almost perfect ball placement when he needs to.
Now, Florida clearly has their quarterback situation figured out. Tennessee, I guess they're going to go back to Garantano is what it seems like as they go against Auburn. Auburn, a 10.5-point favorite against the Vols this week. Do you give Tennessee any type of a chance if it's Garantano? And I know I've asked you this before, how short is that leash?
Yeah, that's a question that nobody seems to know as far as the leash. Obviously Tennessee has a chance. They won last time they played down there, and it's a talented roster. We all know that. But I like Auburn more and more than I've looked into them. You kind of forgot about Auburn. They got blown out by Georgia. They lost to South Carolina. But they've been really good lately. They didn't play last week, but they held 2 weeks ago, they hold Ole Miss to 28 points and 5.6 yards per play, which if you've seen that Ole Miss offense, that's pretty good. And then they dominated LSU 2 weeks ago. The key is Bo Nix. They are 4-0 when he does not throw an interception. They are 0-2 when he does. And that's why they lost the South Carolina game, because he threw three interceptions and just some bad decisions. So I really like Auburn more and more when I look at the numbers in this game. I think it's a tough matchup for Tennessee because Auburn is playing so well defensively. I'm just like everyone else, I'm intrigued to see what Tennessee does at the quarterback position. It's turned into a soap opera, but I think Auburn, I'm not saying is a playoff caliber team. I just think we forgot about them because they lost two games, but this is a really good team.
Now, how much do you think that we're going to learn about Arkansas this week against LSU? Because this is obviously a chance for them to go to 500. I think that they have exceeded our expectations. LSU, not the same LSU as they were last year, as we know. But do you think this is one of those games where you can learn, this is what they are. They're, I guess, maybe for real, more so than we originally thought?
First of all, they were favored a couple days ago. I don't know if they still are, which if you would have said at the end of last year that LSU would be – Arkansas would be favored over LSU based on,
Yeah, they're favored by one.
Yeah, just crazy. I don't know if we're – I wouldn't phrase it that way, Chase. I think we already know what they are. They're a much improved team that's got some challenges offensively. They're pretty good defensively despite what happened last week at Florida. So I think they've kind of carved out their identity. LSU, I'm glad you brought them up because I just looked this up. This is staggering. You know, we all know their defensive struggles. They're 13th in the SEC in total defense and yards per play, only like a tenth of a point, or actually a hundredth of a point ahead of Ole Miss. And they are that bad, having played the 6th, 9th, 10th, 12th, and 14th offensive teams in the league. So they're getting torched by the bottom half of the league. It's not like they've played Ole Miss or Alabama or any of the really high-powered offensive teams. So I think it's going to be interesting with this time off LSU. Have they gotten better defensively? And if not, what can Arkansas do to them? Because we saw they have big playability. Arkansas had one running play and one pass play over 75 yards against Florida. So they, you know, in Tennessee saw what they can do, some things in the passing game there. So I'm intrigued by this game, but I wouldn't say it's like kind of a referendum on Arkansas season by any stretch. I think we kind of already know who they are.
He is Mitch Light of The Athletic, joins us every week after Derek Mason. Mitch, appreciate it as always. We'll do it again next week.
All right, sounds good, guys. Take care.
Mitch Light does some great work there. We'll come back and wrap up Tuesday's edition of the show. But first, Darren, you have a word.
Well, you've got an opportunity to put in some great work in Week 11. Yeah, because Week 10 of the football season is in the books. It's over after last night the Vikings disposing of the Bears and their pathetic offense. But it's time for you to get ready for Week 11. There's no better place to get into all the action than DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. All you have to do is to add to the excitement of Week 11. How about this? DraftKings Sportsbook is going to bring back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, listen to this. Head to the App Store. Download it now. It's free and easy to do because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is going to give all new users a chance to earn a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. When you sign up and use the promo code 1025GAME, DraftKings Sportsbook has endless ways for you to bet, from live betting to betting on your favorite players. They do it all. Don't worry. Football isn't for you. DraftKings is going to give all MMA fans who want to sign up right now a chance to triple their winnings for any bet placed on UFC 255. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025THEGAME. 1025GAME. Once again, 1025GAME. And when you sign up, you will get up to $1,000. Yep, 1025GAME. Get a sign-up bonus or deposit bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.